the good, the bad, the ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The.
Fat.
Podcast.
Yes, it is. It's the Christmas edition, volume 3.
Movement.
Everyone's thinking the podcast is broken. Yes, Christmas movement, like delivering all the presents in one night.
Absolutely. And then not taking any steps for the other 364 days a year.
He's busy because he's got to get around all the shops and stuff like that as well. He's got to go to the shopping centres. And Santa's work starts in November, doesn't it?
Does it?
I don't know. Probably as soon as Halloween finishes, he's off.
Does he go trick or treating? Does he?
No, I said afterwards. Then he goes and stocks up on the shelves, and then you've got like the advent calendars and all that stuff. Anyway, so far, Christmas editions, if you're not listening, we have covered nutrition, mindset. Now we're going to talk about movement or exercise and or activity and or whatever else you want to call it. I think with the year winding down, and particularly Christmas, in it, it's a lot of effort. It's Christmas. People tend to wind down. And then, well, I'll skip straight to the last point. Food is always going to be the most important part of your fat loss or weight maintenance. When I was speaking to a client the other day, I was saying, like, you know, exercise is not key for fat loss. However, it can be a great influence psychologically. It has a big impact because I know for myself, and I'm sure you'll agree, Joe, when your training is on point, you're more likely to eat better. When you're eating better, your training is more likely to be on point. If one of those slips, what's that? The other one slips. It's very rare that I'm training really hard and eating crap, or that I'm eating really well and I'm training crap. So whilst you're not necessary from a physiological standpoint, psychological standpoint, I sound really smart, don't I? Probably that probably just took the shine off it, didn't it? That sound right smart, don't I mean? From a psychological standpoint, exercise can be important. And with end of the podcast, December being the end of the year, people wind down, exercise tends to slip. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
There's that relationship between energy level and exercise, where you'd think that the more energy you burn, the less energy you have. But the reality would be that the fitter someone is, the more they prioritize exercise and activity, the more energy that they have. And so it doesn't have to be, or it's just something that's key to prioritize, is that you get so much from doing this. And yes, it will help you. You know, you said your fat loss or weight maintenance efforts, or even just your weight gain limitation. You know, if you are accepting that you're going to bang weight over Christmas, this is a way to control that to some degree.
I mean, I feel that that would be included in the maintenance statement, but
I suppose, basically, I guess it's
weight gain mitigation.
Yeah, limiting getting too fat. It's not really, like, I'm not going to maintain, but I'm not going to add as much as I physically can. I guess it's then just finding the solutions for that. And a lot of this is going to be the way that you think and the way that you approach this problem. But there's small adjustments that you can make. There's things that you can keep doing that are going to make a maybe not necessarily a big difference, but even like 10%. You know, if, I always think that those are the small details that people often say, well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I have a Kit Kat. It doesn't matter if I take a few thousand less steps. It doesn't matter if I have a glass of wine. What happens if you do that every day for 2-3 weeks between now and New Year? Well, your weight's going to be affected. For most people, it would be. And so often it's those little pieces that people neglect and they say don't matter, that the people who are successful, they're doing those little pieces and getting better results. And so it's then about looking for those small areas that you can adjust. If you can adjust a big area, then great. But if not, just look at the small pieces you can do. It doesn't have to be black or white. It doesn't have to be 5 progressive resistance sessions, 5 HIIT sessions, 15,000 steps a day. It's not realistic for most people the other 50 weeks of the year. So just look at what you can do now and do the best that you can.
Yeah, the danger of December, isn't it, is that everything goes to hell in a handbag and you've got 31 days. And we talked about this on the other podcast. We've got 31 days of like no exercise and just like really high calorie food. And, you know, we're called sustained nutrition for a reason. We want our clients to enjoy this high calorie food. We want our clients to go out and have these social engagements and do all the normal stuff that they do at Christmas. But then it's important that it's not like a completely different month to every other month, every other year, as I said. By just going, right, I behave in a completely different way. Like, less behave in the way that we've been doing that's been getting us results, but relaxed a little bit. So it's kind of keeping the status quo as much as possible, except for those times when you go, right, I've got a big night out, I'm going to go get hammered. I've got a big Christmas do, I'm going to go really enjoy it. You know, I'm going to enjoy a couple of mince pies or a bit of chocolate throughout December because that's important to me. But what you don't want to do is just go, right, 31 days, I'm off the gym, I'm off my steps, I'm off my activity, I'm eating a lot of crap. It's, you know, you've got to do the other bits kind of consistently so that you can enjoy those other things without, like you said, gaining a ton of negative weight. It's, going back to the other podcast, it's prioritizing things, isn't it? And, you know, your activities probably going to slip a little bit because you've got more social engagements and you've got other stuff going on. You have to go Christmas shopping. So maybe you won't go to the gym as frequently, but what we don't want people to do is just go, I'm taking December off, because then you're really going to be in struggle city. So it's keeping your routine as much as possible for me. Yeah.
So that's you're saying that's point one?
I would say, yeah, point one, like,
keep exercising.
Yeah. Do it. Do what you would normally do. Because, again, you know, discipline equals freedom. Great Jocko quote, that one. Is the more disciplined we are and the more we control the foods, the rest of the time away from these social engagements and these festivities, then the less impact those festivities will have. There you go. Summed up.
Absolutely. I like it. Number two, look for solutions to problems. As James has said there are always going to be, there's going to be more events going on. There's going to be more obstacles. There's going to be more problems. And it just comes down, I appreciate this, it's a mindset piece, as a lot of it is, but it's having that attitude of how am I going to get around this? Is that so often people come up against one obstacle and they view this as the end of the road. There's nothing else I can do, black or white, Christmas party, so I can't do anything. Well, could you do a shorter workout? Could you go the next day? Could you do some more steps? Like, what are the options here? What are the ways that you can get around this? And I think that listening to resources like this is a good way to do that, and to look at what other people are doing. You know, so often people will say, well, yeah, I can't do anything because of this Christmas party. If someone else has got a Christmas party on that day and they're finding a solution, then what's the difference? The difference is you. The difference is you are not having an open enough mind to make this work, because there is a way of doing it. And ultimately, the buck stops at you. Missing the gym, you don't miss the gym because of the Christmas party. You miss the gym because you've not found a solution to that. You've not navigated that obstacle properly. Now, fair enough, if you go to Australia for a week or whatever it may be, then it's going to be different again. Again, there's still solutions to that problem if you want them. And it's just having that approach to not just exercise, but any issue in your life. Like, are you going to be the person who looks for that, I'll say the word again, solution, or are you going to kind of stand there with your hands on your hips and just say, well, I did everything I possibly could? And I think people are so often, people avoid trying for that fear of failure, the fact that it's difficulty, the fact that things won't be perfect. But then you've always got to live with that regret of not having tried. Whereas there's a sense of pride in looking for solutions and making the effort and things not working out. You know, you can at least then look back and know that you did the best that you could. Whereas the people who aren't trying and not looking for solutions, they don't have that. You haven't earned that sense of pride that you put in the effort that you could, because you've just sat back and said, yeah, all these obstacles are legitimate. There's nothing else I could do. But it's, you know, it can be hard to hear, but it's just not true. There's always more you could do. You know, with us, with Running Sustain, I would say put in massive amounts of effort. Is there more that we could have done? Oh my God, absolutely. So many different things that I could have done better that have nothing to do with intelligence. Would just be about putting in the effort, doing the things that successful people do, successful business owners do, that I have personally not been as committed to as possible. And it's difficult to say that. You know, it's not fun to say when you've fallen short. It's much easier to say, well, it's the economy. You know, I get up early, so I can't do any more hours. You know, you have to take that personal responsibility and be willing to bear that cross, I suppose. And if you do that, you'll then be able to find solutions. Like I said, if you stand with your hands on your hips, you won't. You've got to be willing to take that negativity, I suppose, that criticism, whether it be internal or external, and work with it.
So problems without solutions just remain problems, don't they? And that's a big part of what we do, the coaching, is like, okay, let's look at some possible solutions. And then, you know, don't expect it the first one that you come up with to necessarily work. Go off on a slight tangent, but I'll keep it on track. Is that, you know, one of the huge stumbling blocks that I see with people is that, like, the lack of solutions for problems, or wanting to try them, or sometimes you'll be trying to prompt a client and be like, okay, so what we could do next time? Like, I'm going to think about it. It's like, don't look for the perfect solution. What's your knee-jerk reaction to this? Well, next time I'll take some food with me. Perfect. There we go. Let's try that.
Yeah.
Let's try that, because you got to try something. But I'm so aware that when people go like, let me think about it. Like, no, because you're just trying to think of like, what is the perfect solution? Like, we just have to throw something at this that we can try next time. And they go, right, that was our first attempt. Did it work? No. Okay. What's the second attempt? What's the third attempt? What's the fourth attempt? And the good thing about attempts is you don't have to run out. There's no like, well, you'll get three attempts. You can keep on going. Because you're actively trying to change that. And again, you know, to overcome that fear of failure is like, I'm trying to fix this. You know, what is it? Thomas Edison, 10,000 or whatever attempts to create the light bulb. But you didn't just do like three and go, right, I'm out, I'm done. It's like, right, what worked from that bit? What didn't work? What do I need to change? Let me try again. I'm not going to do this 10,000 times. I'm sure it was not exactly 10,000. That would be quite the coincidence, but it's just get over that fear of failure. Like, I'm trying to fix this. Let me try this. But just to go back to that little piece you said about our business being shit, cheers, Joe. No, you know, there's a piece of ownership here as well. This is quite deep, isn't it? For saying like, just keep up your exercising. But there's a piece of ownership to go, could I have done more? Well, yes, you know, because I try and finish by 4 o'clock so I can get home and spend some time with my family, because that's part of my values. Could I work till 8, 9 o'clock at night? Well, I could, but then I'm willing to trade off the business being more successful versus me not necessarily spending as much time as I'd like to with my family. Well, no. So then I've got to take it on the chin and go like, right, the business is not where it potentially could be because, you know, I'm spending time with my family. Is that holding it back? But again, it's got the trade-off. So to put it back into the podcast, you know, it's okay to miss some workouts, but you have to own it. You can't be like, there was nothing else I could have done. Well, there was. I just wasn't prepared to do it. You know, I could have got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and been at the gym to get a shower before work and all this, but I wasn't prepared to do that because that would mean that I'd have to go to bed at 9 and I want to spend some time with my partner, or, you know, whatever that trade-off is that you're not prepared to do, it's okay. But then you have to match that. I'm getting there. Level of effort with your expectations over results. This is a conversation I have with clients a lot, because if you're the effort that you're putting in, this is not in a negative way, the effort that you're prepared to put in, like me, you know, wanting to finish at 4:30, 5 o'clock so I can get home, that has to match my expectations over results. So if I'm like, well, I want to finish by 4 o'clock every single day, but I expect the business to be working on a capacity like I'm working till 11 o'clock at night, then one of those needs to change. I either need to work till 11 o'clock at night, or I need to lower my expectations of where I expect the business to be. Same thing with your physique goals.
And also, it's That's quite a black and white way of looking at it, isn't it? And I know that you've not meant it that way, but there's also ways that you can work. You can work more effectively. There's time management pieces. There's prioritization pieces. And the example you gave there of like, I'm not willing to get up at 4 o'clock. That's the kind of thing that I often hear from people who get up at 7 a.m. And it's that refusal to find a suit. I'm not willing to get up at four. I only get up at 6:30. That's not too hard. That sounds so much more manageable. And people will often go to the nth degree. I remember you did some meal prep once and someone said, I've not got hours on an evening to meal prep. Like, that's not how it works. That's not true at all. That's just what you said. Like, I remember timing it once and I made a chicken curry and a Thai curry in the slow cooker in 20 minutes from start to finish. And that was, I think that was even when I chopped the onions to put them in hindsight, I wouldn't even bother doing that. You know, that is meat, sauce, tomatoes or coconut milk in a slow cooker. And then you get up in the morning and you box it out into Tupperwares with a rice sachet and some frozen veg. Like, there's always a way around this. You just have to be willing to, when your mind is spitting out these obstacles, is to, you know, are you going to buy into that? Are you going to follow on with that story and be like, yeah, you're right. There's nothing else we could do. And people smile at this stuff, but that's how they approach exercise. And they would never do that with their parenting or with their jobs or with their friends. You know, you're capable of doing these things. It's just, are you going to apply these skills to areas that you haven't done them before? All of these abilities are well within everyone listening to this and everyone in our support group. You know, these, not just those two groups specifically, but I'm going to guess people listening to this will be from those. Like, you can do this. You just aren't applying the skills that you have yet.
Yes.
Number three?
Go for it.
More steps.
Get moving. And again, we'll cover this with one of the other plans because it is harder. It's snowy. It's icy. It's raining. It's freezing. The days are shorter. It's not always possible. But again, solutions to problems.
Absolutely. I've been chewing my lip here because I went out the other day for a run. And I know this doesn't always go down well with people, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I got up at 5. I went out. Pitch black, you know, wasn't pitch black because there were street lights. Had my hat on, my gloves on, my joggers on, my hoodie on. It was icy on the floor. And in fact, the few days I have been out, it's been icy on the floor. I have not fallen over because you can run on the grass. Like, often it's just, I'm not suggesting people run on the ice, but what I am suggesting is that so often I hear this stuff. Couldn't go out because it was too cold. Couldn't go out because it was icy. There's a way around this. Go slower, walk with a backpack on, go run on some grass. You know, it just depends whether you're willing to do these things. And, you know, we've got 6 points this podcast. It'd be very easy to look at it and go, couldn't do that. That wouldn't work. Tried that before. That didn't work. Dust your hands off and say that you've tried everything you can. But there's just always ways around this, you know, and it's, if that means, there's always going to be the time limitation, but there's just ways that you can do better. Who was it? Was it Katarina Thompson, who did the 5K in her room during COVID? You just have to be willing to do a bit more. You know, walk around your house. If that's the only option you've got, if that is all you can do, do that. You know, or if you're at home and you've got dumbbells and that's all you can do, do that.
Which does take us nicely onto our next point, which is make if-then plans. It's my post here. Post here. Make if-then plans. So that is one of my favourites because everyone loves to hit 10K steps. Don't get me started. Don't get me started on the old 10K step things. I said it about a million times. But this time of year, if it's raining sideways, if it's snowing, if it's icy, then what? If that's the only thing you've got, well, I'm not getting my 10K steps. Okay, so what are you going to do? And there's a million one things you do. Like, you know, did you pick up an exercise bike or marketplace? Do you have a treadmill in your garage? Do you have a Peloton? Could you do an aerobics workout from YouTube? You know, have a backup plan, because if your only plan is, I want to hit 10,000 steps a day, like, I simply can't get out. What was it the other day? When I had a real office day, I think I had like 3,000 steps or something because I didn't go to the gym. You know, I didn't go for my walk, just busy working job, just nose to the grindstone, just nonstop working on the business. So what's your if then plan? What is that? And again, it doesn't have to be anything amazing. Like, right, if I can't go out for a walk, then I'll do a 30-minute, you know, cardio workout. If I can't do this, then I'll do 40 minutes on the bike. If I can't do this, then I will do. It's just a real powerful one. Again, you can make that with food. If I can't get this, then I'll get this. If I can't get that, then I'll get this. They're really good just going with it. It's your plan B, it's your plan C, it's your plan D.
What you've done there is you've wired your brain so that when the inevitable happens or when the issue happens, that it's already got that pathway decided because you've put it down ahead of time. If you don't do this, you're then stuck trying to find that solution in the moment, which is when people struggle the most. And so it's, what is it? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Is that the phrase?
Of just like guttering. Prevention is cheaper than the cure.
Well, but it's in this sense, it is, isn't it? That the small efforts ahead of time will pay massive dividends for getting where you want to be.
And yeah, instead of just like, I can't go for a walk.
Best get on the sofa.
Boom, yeah, let's do this. And, you know, it is, sadly, often that. Well, I've got no backup plan, that's it. I can't do this. Well, I'll just do nothing then. No.
Yeah. Do you know who doesn't care that there was a problem? Like
Santa.
Your health, definitely Santa, your health, fitness, happiness, and your body. Yeah, you know, it's not gonna be worth anything if in 20 years' time you haven't made any change and you look back and go, but I wasn't able to do any more.
Yeah, your body doesn't
go
like,
who suffers?
Body doesn't go like, well, I give them the results that they get from doing all those steps. Because the cagrox is raining. Like, it just doesn't care. It just needs to be stimulated.
Same with the fat loss stuff. You know, you get on the scales, that is a direct representation of the effort that you put in. Of course, there's going to be anomalies and fluctuations to that. But on the whole, the people who do the most exercise and the ones who eat the fewest calories, but the ones who are most consistently in a calorie deficit are the ones who are, and it's in all in a sustainable way, are the ones who get the results. You just see it in our job over and over and over. The people who find the solutions and do the work and make those extra steps, the ones who do better. And the ones who don't are shockingly always the ones who are upset with how the process isn't going as well as they wanted to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Moving on.
What's next?
You got being cold means you burn more calories.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to something the other day about this. And they were saying about how I said, I Googled, why is it harder to lose weight in winter? And someone was like, it's cold, so your metabolic rate's higher. But that means you eat more? And I was like, that is just the biggest load of shit, isn't it? That you're like, oh, you know, bad news that your metabolic rate's up. Bad news that your body's burning more calories because it means that you eat more. Like, that just seems like you're trying to find reasons why it's harder in winter. That doesn't sound like it's actually harder.
I'm going to throw this out there. I mean, seals are pretty fat.
Yep.
Whales have a lot of blubber, so there might be something in this. But then what happens with those freeze machines that freeze the fat off you? No, you'll burn more calories when you're cold because your body's trying to bring your temperature up. That's about it.
Yeah, it was more a dig at some of the misconceptions that you hear. And there are reasons why it is harder during winter. But a lot of it is just to do with the way that you're thinking. It's not... It's not actually harder. You just think it's harder. You know, and if you think differently, you can then find solutions to those problems.
Well, yeah, I think easy solutions in it. A lot of it is like, I just want comfort food. I had this conversation with a client. She's like, I really want comfort food. Like, okay, well, what would you class as comfort food? And, you know, let's see what if we can work with that. And she's like, shepherd's pie or cottage pie. I think it's cottage pie in it officially for beef. Is it? Yeah, shepherd's pie is lime in it. It's like cottage pie, like, okay, have that. Just use 5% mince. Done. She's like, macaroni and cheese, like, okay, that's a tricky one. I was like, but could you just have a smaller portion of macaroni and cheese and then have some, you know, lean protein and some vegetables alongside it? So you eat the protein, you eat your vegetables, and you finish your macaroni and cheese. You've saved 1 million calories, you've still got your macaroni and cheese. Like, yeah, I could do that. Excuse me. And then on a slight tangent, she was like, are there any sustain friendly cake recipes? I said, yeah, just cake. Just have a slice of cake. If you really want it, have it. Doesn't mean you have to eat it every single day. excuse me, this is, I think, a trap that people fall into. Like, I need to find like some kind of bullshit high protein cake recipe that doesn't taste really like cake.
Protein puddings, man.
Yeah, tasty, but you're kidding yourself. You know, I sometimes have like high protein French toast, which is like a low calorie bread soaked in egg whites, powdered peanut butter, and maybe like some like zero calorie sauce. You're like, this is really tasty. Like, it tastes nothing like French toast. You know, it's like people who say like protein bars are just as nice as chocolate bars. They're not.
Oh, I've seen people doing like, this tastes just like a Five Guys. Like, no, it doesn't. You just put low fat cheese and low fat mayo on 5% beef mince and put it in low calorie bread. And that's fine. It ain't Five Guys though. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, there's not merit to these things, but you're just chasing. You're not changing the root of the problem, are you? You're just chasing short-term, small adjustments. And that's fine. It's going to have some effect. Do you not want to go after the bigger pieces? Do you not want to go after the thing that's going to change you long-term? You know, you have to tackle your deep-rooted habits, the way that you exercise, the foods that you eat consistently, the way that you think. Those things are so, the way that you live your lifestyle, almost like we've built our four pillars around this stuff, is that those little pieces might save you a couple of hundred calories every now and then. But if you're constantly using food to boost your mood, if you're not exercising consistently, if you're not eating protein and veg, if your mindset is negative and your lifestyle is trash and you don't enjoy your life, you're just never going to lose weight and keep it off. That's what we're all about. We want people to lose weight, to change their lives, to be healthier, happier, and maintain those results. And so you have to look beyond, you know, the newest low-calorie bread or whatever the newest fad out there is, because that's not the difference. That's not what's stopping you losing weight. And so as hard as that can be, you just got to, again, take that accountability. Like, the issue isn't because you're eating Warburton's bread and not having Aldi Thins. It's going to save you 1% of calories. Yeah, by all means, have them work for you. But it's just not going to make any real difference.
Just to go back to, well, a little bit on that bit and what you said earlier about, you know, making these, you know, people go like, oh, I'll just have a Kit Kat because it's 99 calories and I'll just have a glass of Prosecco because it's this and that. That's, you know, sometimes can negatively impact people's fat loss. Sometimes it won't, you know, it's a negligible amount. But to go back almost to the piece that I said about exercise, psychologically, when you're turning those things down, when you're choosing not to have them, it can have that snowballing effect, that compounding effect of, I'm in control here. Mm. I can choose whether I have this or not, which again can escalate. And over time, build up your confidence, build up your ability, your resilience to be like, actually, no, thank you. I don't want that. I'm choosing not to have that. I'm not going to go for the easy option. I'm not going to call and get fish and chips. I'm going to go to the supermarket and I'm going to buy, you know, some salmon and some rice and some veg. And I'm going to have that instead. And so these things, even though they seem like, oh, it's only 100 calories, it's whatever calories, in the long run, aren't massive. But these small decisions, these, again, you're proving yourself right. You're improving, you know, positive feedback loops. You're changing what you find enjoyable. That, like, well, eating fish and chips makes you feel good. That's a positive feedback loop. Choosing not to have fish and chips and me staying in control and choosing to have another meal, that makes me happy. That gives me positive feedback. It does all add up. So all these little, you know, things that seem like they're small, whilst they might not necessarily have an impact on your fat loss right there and then, you know, we're called sustained for a reason. The mindset piece, it is massive, and that can pay off like forever.
It'd be really easy to say salmon, rice, and med veg is the same calories as low-calorie oven chips and a low-calorie haddock fillet, and I'm sure that it is. But you're not changing the way that you think. You know, there's a trigger behind your desire for fish and chips, and you're still satisfying that. You're still scratching that itch rather than changing the way that you think. And I think that changing the way that you think has a much bigger impact on your long-term fat loss, has a much bigger impact on the way that the rest of your life runs. You know, if you can develop that ability to have delayed gratification. You know, the reason that the marshmallow test is so big is because the children that are able to do that had much better relationships as adults. They had better long-term health. They had better, I can't remember all the different pieces, but their lives just improved across the board. So by doing that short-term fix, by going from fish and chips to having the oven haddock and chips, you're just not learning those other skills. You're not building up those other pieces. You know, for me, that the skills that we're teaching people about more than just losing the weight and keeping it off, it's about how can we impact people's lives positively. And I think that the more you engage in that side of things, the bigger the changes you get will be. No one ever comes to us and goes, my life's perfect, except for the fact that I'm a bit heavier than I want to be. There's always other issues in there. It's always the way people look and the way they feel and their confidence and the relationships that they have. That is not just your gravitational pull. That's the way that your mind is working. And so you have to then, your approach to fat loss should cover those things as well.
Just for total clarity, I called for fish and chips after I saw you on Sunday. on the way home. Oh, weather be weller. Don't mind me.
Amazing.
Last one. Food is always going to have the biggest impact on fat loss. Ignore what we said right at the start. Now, again, you know, if you're lucky. So myself and Joe, both 100 kilo men, 100 kilo plus sometimes. You know, 6'3", we can burn a fair amount of calories. And again, I don't know what the stats are. I could probably look them up. The majority of people listening to this will be ladies. We're going to, just as men, naturally carry more muscle mass. And obviously, we're freakishly strong and have massive muscles, except for both our abs. They're all puny.
They're like pipe cleaners.
Spaghetti abs. So we could burn more calories. But again, you know, you're probably going to burn maybe like 500 calories in a decent-sized workout. So for you ladies who carry less muscle mass, less ability to move as much, you know, weight as us, you might burn 300 calories, you know, kind of a workout if you're lucky. Two glasses of wine, you know, a Mars bar and a finger of fudge. So it's not, again, it's not the be-all and end-all. Nutrition is always going to have the biggest impact because you burn, you know, whatever it is, 10% of your daily calories through direct exercise. You ingest 100% of your calories through your food and your drink. Mm. Which one's easier to control?
Absolutely. I think it's, and it's especially interesting this time of year because I was talking to a client earlier, we were talking about portion sizes and that, you know, I'm almost twice her weight, not a million miles off. And then if you go out for a meal and we both get a main course, we get the same main course, we're going to get near enough the same calories. And so you have to be more diligent when you go out. If you are 60, 70, 80 kilo woman ordering the same meal size, you're getting three courses and a drink that me and you would get.
Yeah.
You know, I went out for a meal the other day, sat with my mother, and I got, you know, a side of broccoli with a meal and drank tap water. So you could easily see there how I would be as full for fewer calories than women who have got the calorie requirements that are two-thirds or even less than that of mine. You know, it can make the world a difference, especially when it comes to, you know, you get a dessert that's 600 calories and a drink that's, you could easily have one drink that's 200 calories. So even with, I'm just going to have a dessert and a couple of drinks, that could be 1,000 calories on your day. Most of the women we work with will be having between 1,300 to 1,600 calories. So if you're then putting down 1,000 calories extra because you've had a dessert and two drinks, you're just not going to have the wiggle room that you want to. You know, I love the idea of the 10X rule. Everything worth achieving takes 10 times longer and is 10 times harder than we think. That's just so true. Like when it comes to anything, people say, I'd like to lose a stone in the next 8 weeks and I'd be happy. And actually, realistically, to get to where they want to, how they want to look, is 2 stone. It's going to take them 6 months, if not more. Let alone the effort that comes into making those changes to keep the weight off. And so it's all well and good doing your steps, doing the things that we've mentioned, that will help. You just have to keep a handle on your food as best you can. You don't have to do whatever you want. But I would always question, you know, how much gluttony, you know, how much food you really need over Christmas. How mindful of this are you? How much of this is just habitual behavior? How much of this are you just eating because it's there? You know, I'm firmly in that camp of most of my Christmases in my life have been mindless overindulgences. It was just the best I could do at that moment in time. But it's not what I want to do now, because I have more awareness of my actions. And I think that a lot of people would benefit, the people that we speak to and work with would benefit from having something similar. If you want to blow out over Christmas, crack on. But if you don't, that's probably a good tool for your toolbox, is that conscious awareness, that mindful eating, being present with what you're doing.
It's not just the actions, is it? It's the knowledge of the repercussions as well, which a lot of people listening to this, you know, myself included, before we started to stay, would be like every year, oh, I've done it again. I've gained 7 pounds. Oh, I spent 6 weeks eating mince pies. Oh, I've done it again. And you're like, right, let's do something about this. And obviously, the more I've got into coaching, the more I've developed my own kind of mindset and awareness and changed my habits and behaviors and everything else that goes on top of that. But just to clarify, Joe didn't only eat a side of broccoli and a glass of water. That wasn't his entire meal. Broccoli for me, please.
I got prawns and pork mince with carrot and courgette. And then the carrot and courgette was like tempura. Like, who deep fries tempura carrot?
Who doesn't? What's wrong with you?
So I obviously ate it. I ate the batter and saved the carrots.
It's for the dog. It's Christmas. So I think that's it. Keep exercising. Be as consistent as possible. Like Joe said, be consistent on it's controlling the controllables, isn't it? So you can enjoy, like I said before, discipline equals power. Discipline equals freedom, sorry, not power. If you have that big blowout, does that mean that you have to have 7 days of blowing out, of just eating crap, just for the sake of it, for it being there? Or do you want to enjoy those social events? Because if you want to enjoy those social, and again, it depends, if you want to enjoy those social events, but not gain a ton of weight, then control everything else, because that's the priority. Absolutely. Keep exercising. Get lifted. Everyone. Everyone who lifts weights should deadlift, and everyone should lift weights. That's my favorite quote.
Very good.
Except for me, my glass back. Thanks for listening. Oh.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, no, wrong one.